quite often lately, I have been turning to the books of Nehemiah and Ezra for courage. And I'm just going to share some of those things with you today that the Lord has used to encourage me. So I'm going to look here at the book of Nehemiah. Just going to get several things that kind of popped out to me. The first thing, and I think we know the history, the children of Israel had disobeyed God for over 400 years, and then they had not kept God's Sabbath, and so he took those 490 years, and every Sabbath that was in that space, or 70, for all of those Sabbaths, he gave them a year in captivity. So they were in captivity for 70 years, and then God began to bring them back, and he sent some kings that were favorable in the land of Persia and Babylon that began to help them. And Nehemiah worked in the palace. He was the king's cupbearer, and he was in every day in the sight of the king. And it came to his attention about the condition of Jerusalem and the captives that the Jews that were escaped, and the remnant that was left there in Jerusalem. And he was told, verse 3 of chapter 1, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And he said, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So he mourned and he repented, and he begged for God's mercies, and he reminded God of his promises that when they would turn unto him in their captivity and begin to obey him again, that he would bring them back and gather them. And he just pled that before the Lord. And he asked for mercy in the sight of the king that he served, that he might be able to go and do something for Jerusalem and for his people. So that's the first thing that we can note in the book of Nehemiah, is that he didn't just ignore the trouble. That's easy to do whenever we learn about great trouble. It's easy to just put our head in the sand and not think about it, but he actually took it to the Lord and it with heartfelt grief and compassion, and asked the Lord to give him something that he could do to help. And then he came and took up the cup before the king. And in chapter 2 and verse 1, the end of the verse, here's something that I noted. He said, now I had not been before time sad in his presence. So it gives you a little bit of a picture into who Nehemiah was. He must have been a pleasant man, a man who did his work well and didn't bear his feelings on his shoulders. But this time it was too much. He had a burden and the king could sense it. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. He said, then I was very sore afraid. And so he entreated the king, and before he gave him his request, verse 4, it says, I prayed to the God of heaven. So he was a man who knew how to lift up his heart in prayer. I doubt if it means here that he went off and prayed on his knees somewhere in the closet. I believe he was just right here before the king, and he just lifted up his heart and said, God, help me. Help me, Lord. And then he gave his request to the king, and the king and the queen sitting there with him were pleased to send him to Jerusalem. So the Lord answered his cry. Some of these things just have stuck out to me of when I study the scriptures. I always think, is this an example to avoid or is this an example to follow? And I think there's some examples here that we can follow concerning our walk with the Lord and the work of God, the way that Nehemiah was and how God responded to him and answered his prayers and gave him his requests. You have to look at the way that he came before God and the way that his attitude was, and that's something for us to follow. So he was granted his request. He said in verse 8, and the last part of the verse, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Well, you think that you've got the good hand of the God upon you, and he's answered requests for you and opened doors. It's going to be a clear shot from here on. Was that the way it was? Right away, there were some men who thought that they had authority there. They had authority. Actually, they were governors, dual governorship there in Samaria. We know that Samaritans, Ezra had not allowed, no, it was Zerubbabel who had been doing some of the repair. He had not allowed the Samaritans to help. So they were in a bad mood anyway, and enemies to the cause of God. No, it didn't matter who it was or where it was. It wasn't that they personally had something against Nehemiah, but it had to do with they were enemies of God. They were enemies of the people of God. And in this, we can find very great parallels, and that's what we're going to do for a little while here, is see the parallels between our enemy and the enemy that was there for against Nehemiah. He came, verse 9, I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. And he had asked for a letter to give to the governors and to the keeper of the forest so that he could get the lumber that he needed, and he would have the word of authority from the king that he was commissioned and was not out on his own. He wasn't some kind of a rebel. He wasn't some kind of a escapee, but he was there under king's commission. So he presented the governors the letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Well, it's a good thing, because when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, his servant, the two of them worked together. I'd looked up about Tobiah, and it says he was a slave. They feel like that he was a freed slave who had been given authority and a governorship. And Sanballat was a Moabite, and Tobiah was an Ammonite. Do you know anything about the origin of those two peoples? They had been conceived in great sin. Lot got drunk. His daughters had an incestuous relationship with him, conceived these two sons. One of them was the head of the Ammonites, and one of them was the head of the Moabites, two different people who ever after that warred against the children of Israel. They were always causing trouble. They worshipped idols. They always picked fights with the Israelites, hindered the Israelites, tried to do things to the Israelites ever since. They were, when you look at it in a spiritual way, they were not children of faith. Isaac and then Jacob and his descendants were all children of promise. But these were children who, spiritually, the parallel is that they were not of faith. Same as Hagar's son, Ishmael. The Bible brings out that he was not a son of faith. He was a son of disobedience and fear. And so in history of the Israelites, Ishmaelites always warred against them. And you know who the Ishmaelites are today? They became the Arabs, who we now have as the Muslims. And the Moabites and the Ammonites, actually, their systems or their generations eventually merged into the Arabs as well. So you have today, you have the greatest force against Christianity is Islam. And these are ancient enemies of literal Israel that their generations now, their posterity, are now great enemies against Christianity. So that's very interesting to me. But here, the spiritual parallels against just that reflect our personal battles are right here in this book. Not to belittle the historical parallels at all, but our personal battles, to me, we can see some things in here. Well, Sanballat and Tobiah, they heard of it. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So they were in a huff about it, and he came to Jerusalem. He was there 3 days. He seemed to be aware that this was not going to be easy, and he had enemies. So he said, I rose in the night. I had some few men with me, and neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me except the beast that I rode on. So I went out by night. This is quite a scene. I think this would be very interesting to have seen this or to have been there. He had just a few men with him. He rides out in the middle of the night. I guess they must have had torches. And he went to the gate of the valley before the dragon well, to the dung port, viewed all the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. So then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither as I had yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, the rulers, nor the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. That lets us know that when God is sending us, like in the scripture in Romans, he said, how can they preach except they be sent? Anything that we do for God, it's really necessary that we have his authority and be sent by him. If we try to do something on our own, it's going to not work. But because God had sent him and he had the authority of the king behind him, he had fasted and prayed, and God had answered his prayers and given him that authority. So he had done things right up to this point, and God opened these doors for him. So he, when he was able to tell them, this is what God has already done for me, they believed that he was sent of God, and that gave him courage. And we'll find that all along the way that when we know God is with us, it just helps us to have courage. Think about when Dan and I got married. We both wanted to live for the Lord, and we had begged the Lord to guide us and have his way in our lives, and that was the focus of our wedding ceremony. We had the song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, and our focus was in pleasing the Lord, and the minister there that prayed for us, the Lord came down in his prayer. He gave a prophecy to us. There were several things in the wedding ceremony that did something to my very heart in knowing God is with us. God is with us. And right away we started having afflictions and troubles. There were some that we didn't have. We didn't have huge financial troubles as some. We didn't have a lot, but we always had enough. And Danny always had good work. But right away there were sicknesses and battles. We had, both of us had problems. We had pregnancy difficulties, and we had physical troubles with Dan, and then just things like that. And every time I would think, but God is with us. He was so real in our wedding ceremony, I cannot doubt. But he wants us to be together, and he wants us to do what we're doing. And that was such a, if we hadn't have had that foundation of knowing God was in the marriage, I just think how much worse it would have been to face the troubles. Because married couples face troubles anyway. But if you can know God wanted us to be together, then that gives you a great strength to face your troubles. Anyway, that's what helped them when they heard that God was in it and what God had done. Then it strengthened the others, and they said, well, let's rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Well, enter Sanballat and Tobiah again, and another guy with them, the Arabian. So we have these three old ancient forces combined and trying to prevent the walls of Jerusalem from being built. This time it said they laughed us to scorn. So we have the enemy being riled up. Now he comes at you with laughter, scorn. That's hard to take when you're trying to do what's right and you have someone that just rears back and laughs at you. But the enemy will do that. I remember as a young person one time, I was so distressed in my mind, and I just could hear Satan laughing at me. And I came to Beverly's dad. We were up in Pennsylvania, and I told him that. And he gave me a little word. It was either him or Sister Williams, I don't know. But anyway, he said, you know, if the enemy's trying to get you, it means he doesn't have you. And I took courage from that. And I thought, well, that's true. If the devil's trying to get me, that's just a good sign that he doesn't have me. So I was happy. I was thankful. That broke the power of that I was feeling in my spirit. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Ah, so now they're not only laughing, but they're accusing them of something that they weren't even doing. They weren't rebelling against the king. Now, because he had this authority, see how important it was for him to be under God's charges and have the authority from the king. Because they could just look at that and say, we've got letters. We have authority. We're not rebelling against any king. They didn't stop on that one. They kept that one up. In fact, they would write letters. I think it said in one part that he wrote 10 letters charging him with rebellion. And that's what Satan will do. He will keep up ridiculous things that aren't even true and just keep up with them just to try to get us to not do what the Lord wants us to do. I answered them and said unto them, verse 20, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. There, he was very clear. He was he was not compromising, not giving in, not sympathizing with the enemy. But he just let him know just how it was. So this next chapter, it gives the names of the people there that began to work. It looks like to me that if you had property or a house that was there on the wall or close by, that you would work on that which was yours. And that's what you have a lot of here. And next to you, you had somebody working on their place. So you didn't have people going around and just haphazardly doing stuff. But you had some order here. Everyone had his work. And I think that's an important example too, to follow. In the work of the Lord, and we find this in the New Testament church, that Peter had his work. Peter was sent to deal with the Jews. And then Paul, am I right there? Am I opposite? Paul was sent to the Gentiles. He took the missionary journeys and went all of these different places. And you had other disciples that went different other places. I believe history brings out that Thomas went south. He went into India. He died there as a martyr. Others went to other different places. They were commissioned by God. And when they all did what God wanted them to do, they were united, even though their works were different. Well, these people, they didn't all just say, okay, all 30 of us are going to work here at this one place, and then when we get through here, we'll work over. No, two or three, a man and his sons maybe, or in his, anyway, they would work on their spot. And this is representative of us today. The Lord wants us to work at home with our own experience is what I'm talking about. With the things that God gives us to do personally. He wants us to be faithful and to work diligently at them. Well, in verse 5, you've got the Tekoites. They were from a place that was way out near the wilderness area. And the common people from there, they came and worked willingly. But it says that their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. They thought themselves too high and mighty to do that. And an interesting thing about these Tekoites, evidently the common people, because a bunch of their brethren wouldn't bend their necks, put their necks into the yoke of labor is what this is really referring to. Then when they got through with where they were, they went over and did a second spot. They just said, well, we're going to do double duty right here, verse 27. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece. So they repaired this one spot, and then when they got through with that, they disregarded their lazy fellows, and they went over and started work on a second piece. You also notice, here's a family, verse 12, next to him repaired Shalom, son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. He didn't let I don't know if he had sons and they were deadbeats or what, but he had girls that he said, come on, girls, you help me. Or maybe his wife, I don't know. But anyway, he didn't let anything stop him. He just took the girls and they started working. Well, that's just interesting. All of these different things in the chapters that I've been reading, they stuck out to me. And well, we got the building going on, everyone really busy. Here comes Sanballat and Tobiah again. Chapter 4. So it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. This is just, to me, this is just like Satan's mockery of us. This is just the way that he many times discourages. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you'll just be overwhelmed with thoughts of discouragement about what you're trying to do, what the enormity of the task and the ridiculous situation that you may find yourself in, where it looks like that it's just crazy that we're trying to do this. And you ever feel like that? You just think, it won't work. It's just too big for us. We'll never get done. It won't ever happen. And this is from the enemy. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they make sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Oh, that's just like the enemy. Then you have Tobiah the Ammonite was right there by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up on it, he'll break down the wall. Hear, O our God, every time that these men came against Nehemiah, he just took it to the Lord in prayer. And I've had that happen before. Sometimes whenever you're feeling really bad thoughts like that and you just get sacked with them all the time, it's almost like you just bear it. You just put up with it and you don't really deal with it. But If you come to the Lord and just lay it all out before the Lord and just tell the Lord what you're feeling and the thoughts that you're having. I've done this before and felt like, oh, it's just me and I'm all alone and this is, it just seems like, Lord, maybe there's something wrong with me. I don't know. And the Lord has turned my attention and let me understand that some of my brethren and sisters working for the Lord are going through some of these same things. Take your mind off yourself and pray for them. And I have before, and the Lord just would revive me and pick myself up. And I think, you know, we're just all in this together. The enemy's probably saying this, well, oh, I know he is. This one has gone through this, and this one has gone through this one. They're probably feeling worse than I am. Lord, encourage them. And that has got me out of the ditch many times. So he said, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. So, in verse 6, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You know, when we have a mind to work, how much work gets done? A lot. A lot gets done. Here a while back, we had just the biggest mess in our garage, and Dan just had all that he was going to take about it, so he went in and he started working, and the rest of us got a mind to help too. And I was keeping the children, and I even got them interested. And they started picking up stuff, and I said, here, just, this is all trash. This whole pile is trash. Take this out and dump it in that trailer out there. And oh, they just got in there and had a mind to work. And pretty soon, we had a clear area there that we'd gone months with it just being the biggest pile of stuff. Now we got to do it again. But that day, I just recall thinking, you know, when we have a mind to work, things get done. And that's what happened here. All of these things, they had gotten done because they had a mind to work. Here comes the enemies again. Verse 7, But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, oh, they're getting forces with them. When they heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem, and to hinder it. So what did they do? Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. How important this is. They not only prayed, but they set a watch. They were aware, we've got enemies. They've made a conspiracy. They've got a strategy. We need to watch and be able to break them up whenever we see them coming. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Oh, doesn't this sometimes just remind you of life? There's just so much rubbish. There's just so much stuff to do, and so much hindering, and just so much rubbish. We are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So you had a disheartening feeling with the people that were trying to work. They were frustrated because of all the trash. And then they had these enemies that had threatened them and said, we're just going to come in when you're not watching. And we're just going to show up in the middle of you. And so we'll make you stop. We'll just stop it, and we'll kill you. It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. So it just seemed like it was relentless. Therefore said I, in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked, and I rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Oh my. Just after they had said 10 times, we're going to be there, we're going to come in, we're going to get you. And for him to say, don't be afraid of them. That's quite a challenge to us. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. I believe we've preached on that one before and turned it toward the direction of us fighting for our homes, for our marriages, and for salvation of our families. But here they were fighting for all of that, and they were fighting for their city. They were fighting. Each of them had a house that they had just been repairing. That was their livelihood. That was their life. That was their only place. They had to fight for it. But even their courage in that was just so low. And he said, no, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord and fight. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. Cooperation. Working together. You do this part, and I'll back you. That's what the Lord wants us to do with each other. He wants us to encourage one another. He wants us to back one another, defend one another in what we're trying to do for the Lord. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, or brought the stuff to them to carry. Everyone with one of his hands, oh, this would be difficult, but look what they did. Everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. That's about like doing dishes with your baby on your hip. Well, it can be done. You can do. I learned that you can do a whole lot with a baby on your hip. Or, I don't know, there's been people that have done amazing things with one hand, but this is what they did. With one hand, they wrought in the work, and with the other hand, they held a weapon. We're going to have to be just like this in our Christian life. Did you know that? You want so badly to just be able to work with no enemies, but it's not ever going to be so. With one hand, we're going to be working for the Lord, and with the other hand, we're going to always be fighting off the devil. We may as well accept it. This is the way it is. We're going to have mockery, scorn, people telling us that it's not going to work, frightening us. We're going to look on. There's other things that they tried after this even. Frightening us, telling us that conspiracy, working together against us, but we can work with one hand and fight off the devil with the other. My dad always quoted that poem, and I doubt if I can quote it, but I can remember part of it. And that was always a great inspiration to me. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, and he, with a chuckle, replied, well, that may be so, but I will be one who won't say so till I've tried. And that was the whole poem was like that. He tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. And that's what they have said here. I wish I could find that whole poem. See if you can find it. It's by Edgar Guest. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. Now this is so true for us today. And we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. I have prayed this to the Lord many times. But we have a great weapon that's by our side. And you know what it is? It's prayer. The work is great and large, and we are separated one from another because we're just each one of us maintaining what we have. It's a great work just to maintain your own soul. But remember, we're together. We really are together. And so prayer, that sword that we have by our side, is always what we can turn to for one another and for our own battles. The work is great and large, and we're separated upon the wall, one far from another. But we're not alone. I'm alone, yet not alone. Did you find it? Thank you. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he'd tried. So he buckled right in with the trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, "Oh, you'll never do that. At least no one's ever done it." But he took off his coat and he took off his hat, and the first thing he knew, he'd begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle right in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start in to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful encouragement. But I'm just so thankful all of the things that are coming out of these scriptures that have encouraged me personally many, many times. He said, "In what place, therefore," verse 20, "you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." How many times we get a call and say somebody's in need of prayer? Or sometimes it's been us. The call has gone out. I remember when Dan was so sick in 2013. I would finally make a call in the middle of the night to somebody, and then they would start the prayer chain. And we heard back from people that said when we got the call, we were already praying. God had already woke us up to pray in the middle of the night for us. And that always touched me. I've wanted to be faithful. Sometimes I feel like that, well, the Lord has told me, you've let your hands hang down and you've let your knees become feeble too many times. And I feel like that the challenge that he gave me this year was to lift up the hands that hang down. Lift them up. Bear the sword. Take the tool in your hand. Do your work. Go to it. Instead of feeling like there's so much to do, I just can't do it. And so you do nothing. That's my weakness, is that when I'm overwhelmed, that I'm a little bit aimless. But the Lord wants us, even though we're overwhelmed, there's so much rubbish, we're not able to build the wall, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. He wants us to go to it. He wants us to not be afraid. He wants us to remember the Lord and fight for our children and our families. And he wants us to work with our one hand in a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. And he wants us to listen for the trumpet, because the trumpet is going to say, here's something that we need. And he said, you resort to that. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night there may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. So he said, neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. They didn't even take their clothing off at night. They kept a guard and a watch all the time. And really, spiritually, that's the way we are too. What does the song say? Number 302. Fight on my... Let's see. Ne'er think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. How does that go? Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown. It's so tempting to relax. And the world, and really, I'll tell you what these enemies are to us. You know what the Ammonites and the Moabites are to us today? It's our flesh. It's our flesh. It dogs us. It hinders the work of God. And it will try to get us to stop every time. Now, chapter 6. It came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, this is such an old story, isn't it? And the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the village in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. So they turned tail. They decided to become friendly outwardly. Let's have a meeting. You know, many times after we've been on watch and on guard for a long time, our flesh seeks to undo us by getting us to relax and getting us to just kind of sympathize and let's be friends now. That is really what happens to us many times. I've seen this over and over in my life when I've been in a really severe battle and I've been watchful and I've been prayerful and we've been fighting and we just fight and then the Lord gives help and the battle eases up. Those have been some of my lowest spiritual times. Why? The Lord just wrought a great deliverance. I should be up. But you know what happens? The flesh comes in. After victory, be diligent, because that's where the enemy will come in and say, let's have a meeting. Let's be friends now. But it said he sought to do them mischief, and our flesh will do that to us every single time. Oh, let's have a party. Let's go on vacation. We can't do that. I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Oh, that should be, Lord have mercy on me. That should be my answer to my flesh every single time. I'm still involved in a great work. I can't come down for a party. I can't come and meet with you for pleasure. I'm doing a great work. I cannot leave it and come down to you. That's what we need to answer our flesh. They sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then said Sanballat, his servant, Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. This time he had false accusations and slander, telling him again that he was a rebel and that he had appointed prophets to preach, saying, there's no king in Judah now. And then they would take that report back to the king. Oh, he said in verse 8, I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. That's what we need in times where the flesh wants us to be easy, and to let go of the battle, and to give in to more of the devil's stuff. We need to say, Lord, I'm in a weak place here. And Satan is trying to weaken me and strengthen my hands. This is my prayer today. Then it seemed like that the enemy came again in verse 10. I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. However that was, I don't know, somebody that couldn't get out. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple. For they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Oh, there's just so many things here that I can see a spiritual parallel. Where the enemy just tries to, he comes in and he tries all kinds of stuff. He said, lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he had pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Here they are again. The flesh will hire all kinds of enemies against us to try to get us, maybe not to quit, but just, oh, come in and let's just, let's meet together in the house of God. Kind of a religious guise here. Therefore he was hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report and that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, and according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah. Here they had a woman that working with them now, and she called herself a prophetess. There are a lot of things in life, and I find this to be so, that the enemy will be at us and at us and at us and at us, and then he will, and we won't give in and we won't quit, but a religious deception can get us. Maybe toward the end of our life, after you've battled and battled and battled, and you've maybe had some disappointments, maybe the people of God have disappointed you, you know what? It's really easy for the enemy to get some false prophets and some easy things said to you. Oh, go this way. Let's meet together in the house of God. And here it's a false prophetess that's behind it all. Well, in verse 16, he said the wall was finished. It came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Well, I think I'm about through here. They still had a lot of enemies, but it looked like to me that the work, it went on. It took on different aspects. There were different problems concerning the people. But as far as building of the wall, they made it through. They made it through all of these attacks and conspiracies and scornings and accusations and all of that. And they made it through. And I want to tell you, be encouraged in your battles. The Lord is going to bring you through. There's going to be an end to these kind of battles. And you're going to enter into more battles, but you'll have this one behind you. And I just thank the Lord for this encouraging book and how many times it has given me the strength that I've needed in my times.